Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5:30. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. Coming up, the boil water notice on the Cooldaff public water supply scheme has been lifted with immediate effect. The 100% redress party's sole TD denies that his party is willing the failure of the defective concrete block grant scheme. There were 230 new homes completed in Donegal in the first quarter of this year. And the Garda Commissioner says the force will carry out a full review of the policing of the recent fuel protests. All that coming up, along with sports news with Oisin Kelly and farming news and views with Chris Ashmore. The boil water notice on the Cooldaff public water supply scheme has been lifted with immediate effect. Ishke Aaron says following consultation with the HSE, people can now resume normal use of their water supplies in North Innishowen. With more, here's Ryan Brawley.
The boil water notice was issued on the 17th of February, with Ishke Aaron saying the measure was necessary to protect the health of customers due to high turbidity in the raw water, which impacted the water treatment process at Cooldaff Water Treatment Plant. They say, since then, they've been working with the HSE to regularly test the water, and it's now been determined that the water is once again safe to drink. Damien O'Sullivan, Ishke Aaron's Water Network Operations Manager for County Donegal, has thanked the local community for its patience while the notice was in place. Approximately 1,300 customers were affected, including those on the Three Glens Group water scheme.
The 100% Redress Party's sole TD has denied that his party is willing the failure of the defective concrete block grant scheme. Deputy Charles Ward was commenting in the Dáil on the expansion of the scheme to Fingal and Wexford. He says a claim has been made that negative commentary from his party is making people nervous about joining the scheme. However, Deputy Ward told TDs there's a huge gap between the cost of remediation and the actual grant available. He says that's a major deterrent, along with the pace of delivery.
The real issue is not eligibility. It is the distance between preparation and completion. We are waiting. People are waiting. There is no review of IS 465 and there's an apprehension. And people that are going forward in the scheme are out thousands and thousands of euro. People are not raising the issue for a political advantage.
There were 230 new homes completed in Donegal in the first quarter of this year. Of the new homes completed in the county, 114 were in the F92 air code area, 61 in the F93 air code area, and 55 in the F94 air code area. With more, here's Donna Marie Doherty.
There were 230 new home completions in Donegal in the first 3 months of this year, compared to 118 in the first quarter of last year. It's an increase of almost 100%. Of those, 95 were single houses, 131 were scheme houses, and 4 were apartments. When broken down into local electoral areas, there were 70 completions in Letterkenny, 50 in Donegal, 31 in Glenties, 26 in Carndonagh, 19 in Buncrana, 18 in Milford, and 16 in the Lifford-Stranorder area.
Well, nationally, just over 7,800 homes were completed. That's a 33% increase overall and the highest level of quarter one completions since the CSO began tracking the data in 2011. Housing Minister James Brown says it's a sign that things are moving in the right direction.
We want people to be able to live in their own local communities, whether that's rural Ireland or villages or towns or larger cities. We want people to be able to live in their own local communities. So I think there's a real sense of momentum there. We won't be taking a foot off the pedal. We have more to do. We were going to drive on.
It's hoped an airlink can be restored between City of Derry Airport and Dublin Airport by the end of the year. The Transport Minister confirmed in the Dáil today that they hope to have the new public service obligation route in place by October. He was responding to questions from Donegal TD Patrick McLaughlin. Minister Dara O'Brien said a 2-month tender process must be undertaken before a contract is awarded. But he said a comprehensive survey late last year confirmed the demand.
Engagement on the survey was really positive. Over 700 responses were received, confirming the interest in and recognised benefits of this air service. So effectively what we're looking at doing, the findings is that all things being equal, it's expected that following a 2-month tender procedure, a contract will be awarded for the commencement of service this October. So this will align with the winter 2026 airline scheduling season. And looking forward to it, and it's on track at the moment.
The Garda Commissioner says the force will carry out a full review of the policing of the recent fuel protests. Justin Kelly says Garda were subjected to appalling behaviour at some of the demonstrations. He described the response to the blockade of Whitegate Oil Refinery in County Cork as a success. He's been addressing a meeting of the Policing and Community Safety Authority in Cork this afternoon. Commissioner Kelly says the review will highlight the successes and the lessons to be learned.
I've appointed Assistant Commissioner Katrina Gunn. Katrina has put together a team and we've given her terms of reference in relation to a review. And this is a review into the full range, what we knew about it, how we dealt with it, our tactics, everything across that full week. So I certainly look forward to seeing the recommendations from that.
Sinn Féin's finance spokesperson has again urged the finance minister to call an early budget. Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty clashed with Simon Harris in the Dáil today over energy prices. The Taoiseach has said the government's interventions have suppressed the rise of inflation. However, Piers Doherty said that means nothing to people on the ground who are struggling.
Does that make a blind bit of difference to the 317,000 families who cannot pay their electricity bills now? You're talking about extending the fuel allowance that ends today. You're talking about stuff that's already happened. They still can't pay their electricity bills, Simon. That's the problem. And you know what you're telling them? You're telling them wait till next year's budget. The bills keep on rolling in.
Well, Minister Simon Harris says any more than what was given in the recent energy package wouldn't be sustainable. He said the government is, contrary to Deputy Doherty's claims, taking action.
It extended the fuel allowance. It's making people's homes warmer. It's helping the farmers. It's helping the fishers. It's helping the hauliers. And it's helping suppress inflation. You want to ignore all of that because if this narrative, tell the Irish people the government is refusing to act. The Irish people aren't stupid. They know we're acting. You're trying to convince them of a false narrative. But the Irish people know something else too. You don't want an emergency budget. You want one a week.
A man's been taken to hospital with non-life-threatening injuries following a road traffic collision in Ballybofey this afternoon. The incident took place on the N15 on the Donegal town site at around 25 past two. The collision was attended by Gardaí and emergency services. No other injuries have been reported and the road is open. Meanwhile, there was severe traffic congestion for a time in Letterkenny today after a collision involving, we understand, a car and an articulated lorry. It happened at the Ballyrain roundabout close to the Ballyrain industrial estate. No injuries have been reported. Concerns have been raised following the announcement of over 400 job losses across Northern Ireland at Ulster University. In a joint statement, Derry Chamber and Causeway Chamber say Ulster University remains vital to the Northwest. Both groups say any roles affected must be addressed through voluntary measures. They're also calling for a balanced approach that supports growth across all campuses and the wider region. Stephen Lindsay is president of Derry Chamber.
As representatives of the business organisations in Derry, Strabane and Causeway, we felt it was really important to emphasise the economic importance of the university campuses and our geography. I mean, universities are the university itself is a major employer in its own right, but further to that, you know, it provides an important skills pipeline for businesses. Their centres of research and development and innovation, and they're also great levers to attract further investment into the region.
This will be done first of all on a voluntary basis, and the concern is always going to be that if you take too many redundancies from an area which is involved in direct contact with business, then it could completely skew the balance of what the university does. There's a lot of unanswered questions out there yet.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. The devil's in the detail, but you know, look, from a joint chamber perspective, we completely understand that the university has to take steps to ensure it is financially viable, but really through our statement what we're doing is calling on all relevant parties to work together to come up with a plan really that can ensure that both university campuses continue to play a vital role in growing the economy.
And that was Derry Chamber President Stephen Lindsay. A Donegal woman has told an Oireachtas Committee on Transport that the failure to meet a 2024 commitment that more Garda personnel would be assigned to roads policing is a disgrace. Susan Gray, the founder of Park, was speaking with other bereaved families in the Oireachtas today. Numbers of officers assigned to the roads policing unit have fallen from 1,000 in 2009 to around 650 this year. Susan Gray told the committee, the Garda Commissioner at the time, Drew Harris, made that promise 2 years ago. But since then, not much has happened.
They need the members, they need the resources, they need the vehicles. And we find it an absolute disgrace that even though the former Garda Commissioner Drew Harris spoke at this committee in 2024 and pledged 150 more Gardaí that he was going to assign them to roads policing units across the country. 75 in 2024 and 75 in 2025. We didn't get them. Now, obviously, he pledged that because he knew the need and the importance and the great work that roads policing units do. So we've been asking why the government and many ministers have said that as, and the Garda Commissioner, as more Gardaí are being trained in Tempermore and pass out, it will free up other Gardaí to get in to roads policing, and that that would be done. We had something like 619 guards out of Tempermore last year. Why were a lot of them not put into roads? Not them, they can't go on. You have to be in the guards for 3 years before you can apply to go into roads policing. So why did we not see more guards going in?
Meanwhile, Gardaí and the RSA are appealing to all road users to slow down and stay alert over the bank holiday weekend. A roads policing operation kicked off this morning. It continues until Tuesday with a particular focus on motorcyclists. Last year's Gardaí figures showed 29 motorcyclists lost their lives on Irish roads, with a further 195 seriously injured. The RSA's director, Michael Rowland, says while they make up a relatively small proportion of traffic on the roads, injuries among riders remain a serious concern.
I want to highlight the dangers associated with motorcycling in particular. 117 motorcyclists lost their lives in the last 5 years. 30 motorcyclists lost their lives last year, and we know that 3 motorcyclists so far this year. Summertime, we fine weather, we tend to see more motorcyclists on the roads in particular.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to start your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
14 minutes to 6 o'clock. Good evening, Oisín Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We're going to start with golf. Saudi Arabia have confirmed it's withdrawing its multi-billion dollar backing of LIV Golf. A new independent board has been announced, minus the governor of Saudi's public investment fund. The rival tour was launched 4 years ago, but has made huge losses and needs new backers. Elsewhere, the PGA Tour heads to the famous Blue Monster at Doral today for the Cadillac Championship. Shane Lowry's in the field, and alongside him in the first round will be Scottie Scheffler and Justin Rose. Lowry is set to get underway in the next hour or so. To soccer, there's an all-Premier League clash in the first leg of the Europa League semi-finals tonight. Aston Villa away to Nottingham Forest in the third meeting of the sides in 4 months. Villa beat Forest in January, and they drew earlier this month in the Premier League. Forest boss Victor Pereira admits he'd love to emulate Brian Clough by bringing European glory to the City Ground. Pereira would instantly write himself into Forest folklore if he could guide the club to the title.
If we want to put our name in the history of this club, we need to get the final. But, you know, this is, of course, is an inspiration for us. This is a big chance for us and for our supporters and for the club to reach a final. We'll do everything that we can.
Crystal Palace will continue their push for a first European title tonight. They face Shakhtar Donetsk in the first leg of their Conference League semi-final. The match has been played in Poland, with Shakhtar unable to host because of the war in Ukraine. Kobbie Mainoo has signed a new Manchester United contract, keeping him at the club until 2031. The 21-year-old has made 98 appearances and has been revitalised under Michael Carrick after falling out of favour earlier in the season. Craig Bellamy and Steven Gerrard are among the early favourites to replace Scott Parker as Burnley manager. Parker left the relegated Premier League club this morning after winning just 4 games all season. In snooker, four-time champion John Higgins is level in his semi-final with Sean Murphy at the World Championships. It's 4-all after the first session at the Crucible. Later on, Ulsterman Mark Allen gets his semi-final underway. He's taking on Wu Ezu in the evening session, and that one's due to start at 7 o'clock. On the Gaelic Games front, last night Tyrone won their third Ulster Under-20 Championship title in a row as they beat Monaghan by 9 points at the Athletic Grounds in Armagh. The victory also keeps Tyrone on course for 3 in a row All-Ireland titles. Manager Paul Devlin has guided Tyrone now to 6 Ulsters and 3 All-Ireland crowns during his tenure. He says there is a desire every year for success within Tyrone.
Comments out of the year from a couple of odd counties, and it's their own thing about, you know, with this cycle of a team every 20 years. Well, to me and Tyrone, we have this cycle every year. We have it every year, and that's the desire, to have a cycle every year. We're not waiting 20 years, because, you know, nobody should have to wait 20 years. Have it there and then. If you get over the line, great. But you don't, you go again. So have that belief in your head. We have a cycle of players every year who want to step up. And all the credit, I know we talk about 6 titles and 3 All-Ireland awards, but all the credit goes back to the players. Every player takes the credit. I'm there for one thing I always talk before, is the Wellington boot, you know. Oh, so Nokia, they deserve all the applause tonight here, and there's a lot of lads want to do more so than I.
And there's more from Paul Devlin and indeed Conall Sherry, available now on HighlandRadio.com. This evening, Cork and Kerry are set to go head-to-head. That's the decider of the Munster Under-20 Football Championship, with that game taking place in Tralee. Finally, just looking ahead to the Score programme tonight, Declan Boyle, ex-Finn Harps captain, joins us for our weekly League of Ireland chat. We'll hear from the Finn Harps camp ahead of a double weekend of fixtures, with a trip to Wexford on Friday and a home tie with Bray next Monday. Bunnygee United manager Michael Funston previews his side's FAI Junior Cup trip to Clonmel Celtic. And we speak with Martin McDermott, chairman of Glengad United, ahead of their 50th celebrations this weekend. That's all part of the Score tonight after the 7 o'clock news. Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Oisin. It's a Thursday, it's 10 to 6. That means it's time for farming news and views this evening. And we say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Hello and welcome along to this week's Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. Shortly, I'll be finding out about Social Farming Ireland and what that entails. But first, well-known Killigordon farmer Patrick Kelly of the Waterwheel Farm has won the top award at the 19th Annual Arrivo Milk Quality Awards. Furthermore, he also received the Future Milk Sustainability Champion Award, which Arrivo said recognises his outstanding performance across milk quality, farm management and long-term sustainability. According to Arrivo, his focus on milk quality, animal health, welfare and hygiene standards underpinned performance, while improvement and close monitoring ensured high standards are maintained. Meanwhile, Cahill and Adam Harper, a father and son team from Castlefin, were recognised for their liquid milk production on their farm, which has been dairying since 1953. Now, moving on to the whole area of social farming. Brian Smith is the National Project Manager for Social Farming Ireland, and I've been speaking to him all about social farming. It is active here in Donegal, and I asked him to outline to me exactly what it's all about.
Social Farming Ireland is a national network of stakeholders focused on the farmers, really. At this stage, there's over 200 of them nationally delivering support on their farms for people who come out. The other people involved in the network would be disability service providers, health and social care, mental health service, county councils, local development companies, and a wide range of advocates groups for the people who come out. So the beneficiaries on the farm are disabled people, people in recovery from mental ill health, young people, older people, those with dementia, people in the justice system, migrants, refugees, that kind of groups who find some value and benefit from being in a natural environment on a farm and with people in the community.
How recent is it that this has evolved here in Ireland? You're looking at developing it all over the country.
Yeah, we run the national network out of the local development company in Leitrim. We have our colleagues in Donegal, there's Inishowen Development Partnership and Donegal Local Development Company. So we have a contract with the Department of Agriculture to deliver this national network. I suppose that's been going on for 10 years now, since 2016. But we had activity before that. We'd set up some pilot farms in an Interreg cross-border funded project in 2012, I think. And we would have some farms. There's actually 2 farms there in Donegal that were involved in that project, Larry Masterson's and Blissbury Farm out of Mount Charles. and he stepped back since William McLaughlin then is a dairy farmer and contractor in Mallon, and he's still active. He's supporting currently, I think, supporting kids from the Cairn Donnell Community School and his farm on placements. So it's going for a while, but really it's beginning to mainstream now that these farms are there. We have a farm now, I'd say, nationally within about 35, 40 kilometres of anybody in the country. So anybody who wants support on the farm can make arrangements and go out.
And for a farmer who wants to become involved, obviously there's a process that they need to go through. They need to be aware of just how the whole operation works. So is there an element of training or a day course, or how does that all happen?
There is indeed, yeah. We do a process of application and induction, and we have six regional coordinators. Actually, one of them lives up there near Ballybuffet, Charlotte Kelly. And she would engage farmers who are looking to come on board and take them through what we deliver as a training and induction process. So obviously, when you take vulnerable people in, like with children down as far as 14, your farm insurance, your health and safety, your Garda vetting, all these things that would be required in any setting, I suppose, that deals with vulnerable people. So we take farmers through that process to make sure everything is in order and that they're kind of comfortable with what they're doing. They're supporting people on the farm. It's not a work placement. Although some people go to the farm, with the view of taking up work and time. So it's on their pathway to work. But they're involved in the farm activities as a support in their lives, whatever the support is that they need. And so there's a very particular process that involves a small number of people on the farm at one time. There's a kind of a plan, an individualised plan around it. So it's very individualised. It's a personal thing between the farmer and the people who go out, and they support them on their pathway, whatever it might be. So for, say, for migrants or refugees, it might be just integration, you know, learning a bit of language, understanding how the Irish systems work, you know, being comfortable. For a person with a disability, it could be completely different. That could be somebody who's in a wheelchair or somebody who's an intellectual disability. So it varies hugely what people need from the placement. But the farm is the place where it happens, and the farmer makes it happen with them. So, yeah, there is a bit of preparation so that everything's in order and that there's no risks, and or that the risks are minimised, and that, the, you know, if anything goes wrong, everybody knows what to do. So farmers will go through that process with us, and we support them all the way through. Like Charlotte will be visiting farms on a regular basis, helping to make the arrangements for people to go out. And of course, the farmer is paid for their time and the support that they provide. So that's important. What farmers do is very valuable. It's valued by the people who commission them to provide the support. So the farmer's paid for their time and costs at the main core. And people like the HSC there in Donegal, an occupational therapist there, Aisling Qua, would be supporting people from the mental health service on farms, Donegal County Council through Healthy Donegal, DLDC, local development company there with Pádraig Fingleton and his SICAP staff. They would be supporting people to go out, as in a show and development partnership does as well, and others. So they would be commissioning the placements on farms and helping with the costs, cover the costs of the farm's time.
I see you have on your website, there is a map there. So here in Donegal, there are a number of farms.
Yeah, and we're looking for more, I suppose, in that Finn Valley area at the minute. You know, we always take inquiries, and we're always looking for farmers to come on board. But yeah, we have, as I mentioned, we have William McLaughlin out in Mallon. With Bernard DeCuster there in Weena Farm near Buncrana, mixed farm. He's selling, direct selling from the farm. He actually has a farm walk there on the 15th of May at 7 p.m. in collaboration with the Inishowen Development Partnership. So if anybody wants to go out and see that, they can find the details there. Patrick and Martin Harley then are in by Letterkenny. They have a mixed farm. They're involved with renewable energy production as well. They take people out. John Duffy and Laura McGoran are at Future Oak Farm. They're leaders in the regenerative farming practices, and with stock and cattle on the farm there, Churchill, Letterkenny. John Hamilton is at St. Johnston, and he's in a mixed organic farm. And then we've Drew and Elizabeth Vaughan that are dairying there, just beside Finner, actually, at Ballyshannon on Campview Farm. They also have a tourism diversification business there and other things going on the farm. And then we have Joanne Milo Butler at Gortahork, which is our organic. It's focused on horticulture, growing and gardening. So, yeah, we have a variety of places and people. And obviously, if people want to express an interest, they can find a link at our on our website. So if you Google Social Farming Ireland, you'll find it. You can put in your details and Charlotte will pick up the contact and talk to you from there.
And finally, just looking at some of the coverage you had from your national conference that was held last week, and there was a quote out at one of the speakers said, there's not a bottle with medication in it that is as good as going out to the farm. And a nice way, perhaps, of summing it all up.
For sure, yeah. We had a national conference. We had Minister Martin Hayden addressed it or opened it, and we had a lot of different experiences. And we had a farmer and a participant from Mental Health Service there. And he talked about his experience on the farm and more or less said, you know, that it's the relationship with the person, the environment, the farmer and the place, and how that helped him. He explained how it happened. And he said, you know, you couldn't prescribe it enough. It's a non-clinical support, and the relationship between people, between the environment, nature, and we all know how restorative nature can be, you know, when there's some pressure on, go out for a walk, get out, and also build relationships with others, other people, connecting. So really that's what social farming is about, connecting people. And it's all down to the nature of the farmers that are there on the farm and how they interact with other people.
And that was Brian Smith, the National Project Manager for Social Farming Ireland. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Well, the forecast for this Thursday evening, it will stay mostly dry for a time, but rain will develop in the west this evening. Top temperatures tonight of 9 to 11 degrees Celsius. It'll stay cloudy with outbreaks of rain and drizzle over the course of the night. Those rain and drizzle spots will gradually spread right across the region. A few mist and fog patches forming as well in light southwesterly winds. Tomorrow, Friday, any lingering rain will clear from eastern areas in the morning. There'll be some brighter sunny spells, well scattered showers as well for the rest of the day. Top temperatures on Friday, 15 to 18 degrees Celsius in light to moderate southerly winds. Looking at the closing headlines this evening, the boil water notice on the Cooldaff Public Water Supply Scheme has been lifted with immediate effect. Ishke Aaron says following consultation with the HSE, people can now resume normal use of their water supply. The 100% Redress Party's Sol TD has denied that his party is willing the failure of the defective concrete block grant scheme. Deputy Charles Ward was commenting in the Dáil on the expansion of the scheme to Fingal and Wexford. There were 230 new homes completed in Donegal in the first quarter of the year. That's up from 118 last year. And the long-awaited air link between Dublin and Derry should be returned by the end of the year, the Transport Minister confirmed in the Dáil today. We're back with news again at 7 o'clock. In the interim, check all today's news on highlandradio.com. But for now, from the news team, good evening.
The obituary notices this Thursday evening, April the 30th. The death has taken place of Billy Black, Cornegilla, Convoy. His remains will repose at his late residence from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. today, and tomorrow from 12 noon to 10 p.m. Funeral leaving from his home on Saturday at 2:30 p.m, going to Convoy Presbyterian Church for 3 p.m. service of thanksgiving, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only. Donations in memory of Billy to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Terence McClintock Funeral Director. The death is taking place of Brian Winston, Rectory Road, Remelton. Reposing at his home this evening from 6 p.m. until 10 p.m. and again tomorrow from 12 noon until 10 p.m. House private to family, friends and neighbours. Requiem Mass on Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m. in St Mary's Church, Remelton. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only. Donations if desired to Remelton Community Hospital Patients Comfort Fund, care of any family member or Patrick Sweeney Funeral Directors. The death is taking place of Anne Sweeney, née Doherty, 33 Carton Drive, Strabane, reposing at her home. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 9:30 for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death is taking place of Iris Smith, 8, Thorndale, Letterkenny, formerly Glencar, Letterkenny. Reposing at Eternal Light Funeral Home, Carnamugga, tomorrow from 7pm to 9pm. Removal from there at 9pm to Trinity Presbyterian Church, Main Street, Letterkenny, for prayers and to repose overnight. Funeral service on Saturday afternoon at 1:30, followed by interment in Gortley Cemetery. Funeral service can be viewed on Trinity Presbyterian Church Letterkenny Facebook page. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Irish Cancer Society, care of Patrick Sweeney Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Noreen Gillespie, Cleary House, Knocknamona, Letterkenny, formerly of Duncanealy. Her remains are en route to St Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, to repose overnight. Requiem Mass there tomorrow morning at 11am, which can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Private cremation to take place later at Noreen's request. Memorial Mass for Noreen will take place at 10am on Saturday the 9th of May in the Church of St Joseph and St Connell Brooklis, with interment of ashes remains afterwards in the family plot in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to Cleary House, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Una O'Doherty, name Martin, Nottingham, and Ballinalost Fanid, reposing at her home in Ballinalost until Rosary at 9 o'clock tonight, and again tomorrow from 10am until Rosary at 9. Funeral on Saturday at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Fanavolti Fanid, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to Fanavolti Community Hall Restoration Fund, care of any family member or Eamon Scott Funeral Director. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to HighlandRadio.com.